forth.
This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 420 kelvins to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working? Can you feel it, John?
Always feeling it, man.
All right. And as always, the Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. All right. So we are back Sunday night, Monday morning. I'm Jeremy. That's John. We were supposed to have Shane with us tonight. He had to bail last minute. Apparently life has got him down. We hope you feel better soon, brother. We're looking forward to having you back tonight. He's been gone the past couple of weeks with the holidays and whatnot. But, you know, hopefully he'll return next week and he can fill us in on what's been going on. So, how are you, John? How's the New Year been treating you since we last did the New Year show together?
Pretty good so far, man. I can't complain that much, man. Just been getting back to work and life and all that.
Well, that's good. I finally succumbed to peer pressure that's been building for over a year now, and finally joined the Steemit community. And I see you're quite busy over there.
I've been doing all right over there.
Yeah, it's amazing. I've noticed you post a lot of your. Well, for anybody who doesn't know, Steemit is the. I guess it's website/cryptocurrency. It's a whole bunch of things. It's a community, I guess, which is based around the Steem token and gives people the ability to put their content out there and actually get paid for it. Well, essentially tipped for it, I guess, really. Is it right? That's pretty much what you're doing. It's kind of like the upvote system in Reddit, except you actually get tipped along the way. Yeah, when it first came out last year, I was pretty much against it. I think I actually refused to even look at any Steemit articles, even by friends of mine who would post them. I just, like, on principle, I flat out refused to go to it. And I think it was right around that time on my other podcast, on the Seeds of Liberty, we actually had Jeff Berwick on. Who at the time was, like, you know, the one anarchist who was screaming about how rich he was becoming very quickly because he just, like, posted some, you know, introductory post, which was kind of just BS, and he got, like, you know, thousands of dollars somehow from it. And, you know, a lot of people I know were kind of, like, automatically, like, were like, well, if he's promoting it and he's getting rich off it, it's got to be a scam because, well, that's what Berwick is. You know, that's what's attached to him, that moniker of scam artist.
I think he just happened to be an early adopter, really, and probably just one of the first anarchist adopters. I know that that is the case, because before then it was mainly just for crypto people, and now there's, like, different communities starting to jump on there, especially now that DTube is attached to it and the YouTube is starting to demonetize people. There's even video game streamers and stuff who are popping over there, which will definitely grow the community a lot. But yeah, there was definitely a lot of people saying that it was a scam, but I've been able to pull money out of it, so, you know, it is what it is. I don't get paid to post on Facebook, so I feel it's at least better than that.
Yeah, this is very true. And yeah, I kind of, like, the longer it stuck around and the more people I knew who were on it were making, like, you know, not everybody was obviously making a killing, but, you know, people were making, like, a decent amount of money off it. Like, the longer it stuck around, I was kind of like, the less and less I was thinking it was a scam, and I was like, all right, I guess maybe this thing is for real. And I still never really did anything about it. And then one of my co-hosts on my other podcast is actually big in the Steemit community because he's a fiction writer. So he's involved in a bunch of the different writing groups they have over there and stuff like that. And he's been talking it up for the past, I don't know, few months now. And I kept listening. I was like, we had talked about actually reviving, because we actually have a Steemit for the Seeds of Liberty. We just never, like, we posted some stuff on it and kind of forgot about it. And apparently went and checked, and, like, that account's worth, like, $1,100 or something. We were like,
yeah,
whoa.
That's what happened. It's crazy. That like I let one sit while I was sick, and then like a month or two I went back on there and I was like, whoa, this is worth like quite a bit of money. Like I was thinking it was worth nothing. So then I started posting on it, and yeah, I was pretty happy with the results.
Yeah, and I was noticing as I was going through your stuff, it's like, it's amazing that you can just, you know, people are just like, you know, upvoting your stuff and you're getting a couple of bucks, 20 bucks, whatever, like for all this stuff. And I was looking and I'm seeing a lot of your articles, like they're just like your older articles and stuff. Some from like a year ago, 2 years ago,
5 years ago.
Yeah. Like. But it's not like you hide that fact. You put it at the bottom of every, you know, bottom of every one of this is where you can find the actual, you know, the original article and where it comes from. Does that happen to be a date on the piece that you actually submit to Steam Hit, so people read it quickly, yeah, and go, oh, this is great information, and click upvote and write you a nice little comment. And I'm looking, go like, this is old news, wait a minute.
Yeah,
but it's great, it's working for you, so that's awesome. So
yeah, I figured I'd go back and I looked through all my old articles and I picked out stuff that wasn't too time sensitive, and I just figured I'd start practicing with that because I hadn't gotten back to writing articles full time yet. And hey, it worked, so I kept on doing it.
Well, no, exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's great for you. I mean, I mean that's all I've been able to do so far, because I don't write a lot, which I know Steam it is. At least it seems to be more geared for writers.
I think that's kind of a misconception, dude, because a lot of people have been saying that, and that kind of has pushed a lot of people back. But I've seen, you know, there's photographers and stuff too, and like,
well,
I said,
yeah,
video game. Well, but I posted a picture of my dog, and I got over $1.
Nice.
And I'm sure that like people taking pictures of their food and stuff, like there's a section for that.
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to say with the inclusion of the whole DTube thing. Now I think it's going to become a lot bigger for, you know, like you said, like the gamers and stuff like that, and anybody, you know, being able to have the video service attached to it too, I think is definitely going to boost people like that. I mean, I did that. I took our last episode of Seeds of Liberty, which, you know, we haven't been demonetized on YouTube yet completely. But it's not like we get much revenue from there to begin with, so I'm just like, ah, what the heck, we're just gonna start putting them on here instead. So I'll just start dumping them on there. So I think now, yeah, and the photography thing, it's funny, I was telling Jen that earlier. I was like, maybe you should get involved in Steam, because she's a photographer, you know, an amateur one, but she loves, you know, she has tons of stuff that she's taken over the years. And I'm like, heck, I'm looking through this and I'm like, look at this here. I just went to the trending section for photography and I just clicked on it. And like, you know, the top 20 posts there are just like, you know, I mean, it's nice pictures and, you know, good quality stuff, but basically just like
in a backyard with a cell phone.
Well, yeah, but it's just like basically a little album somebody created, and they're like $200, $300, $400, $500 per post for these things. And she's like, are you serious? I'm like, yeah, get on here tonight, seriously, sign up. I'm like, get an account. I'm like, and make sure to upload all my stuff while you're at it. I'm like, but, you know, seriously, because that's like I said, I think originally I guess I had that misconception that was for writers, but the whole photography thing makes sense, and the DTube thing is making more sense for other content creators, you know, such as myself, you know, because like I don't have a lot of content other than a lot of podcasts and stuff, so I try to sprinkle that in. But I did find that you know, memes can make some money too, apparently. So
there is a meme section too.
That is like listed under the trending tags. It's one of the top 25 or 30, you know, trending tags consistently in there. So I'm like, yeah, I threw those up, and all you need is somebody who, not even like a full blown whale, but somebody with like enough Steam power, like you, for instance. Like, anytime I see you on there, I'm like, okay, John, you just gotta go upvote all my stuff, because you keep like getting like 30, 40, 50 cents thrown at my things every time you do that.
Yeah.
So like, whenever I get one of those, I'm like, all right, I get one of those a meme, I get a couple bucks per meme. I'm like, that's still a heck of a lot better than I was doing on Facebook, where I was pumping out memes. I mean, there was a while that just to keep the Seeds of Liberty page afloat, on Facebook, like to keep the numbers growing and to keep growing the page consistently and getting the page reach up over a certain number per day. I had to churn out a couple of memes a day. And that just got tiresome after a while. I mean, I could do it. Like, I would go through spurts where I would just be sitting there and pumping stuff out half the time while I was in my car. Sometimes even while driving, I had mastered being able to make a meme while driving my car. And
that's impressive.
Yeah, I got pretty good at right. Sometimes if I had to maneuver things, like center things and stuff like that, it wasn't the easiest. a little bumpy on the roads out there. But overall, I could usually get the basic meme outline done. And I run out of ideas relatively quickly because I don't, I would be forced to read the news and stuff to get more ideas. And I would just get bored of it after a while, and it just got annoying. So I stopped doing it for the page, and that's before I would, I wasn't even getting paid with all that work I was putting in. Imagine if I had done all that and put it on Steemit. So now I'm just now I have this collection of memes that I made. They are, it's original content. I made them all. And they're all stored on the Seeds of Liberty on the Seeds of Liberty Facebook page and some other folder I have somewhere. I'm like, I'll just start over at the beginning and I'll start pumping all these back out again. and we'll see where it gets me.
I've been doing something similar where how you have the On This Day thing on Facebook?
Yes, the memories.
So I click on that and I just scroll through the memories, and if there's anything that will remotely fly on Steemit, I just copy and paste it and throw it over there.
That's so funny. I made one of those today too.
I made $200 on a 50 word Facebook status that I posted 2 years ago.
Wow.
Well, I lost that in a boating accident immediately.
Of course. But the fact that you were able to accomplish it in the first place that matters, right?
Indeed. But yeah, it's pretty crazy, man. I know there's still skeptics out there, but I'm laughing all the way to the bank.
Yeah, man. Like I said, I was I'm fully ready to admit at this point that I was wrong. And I should have hopped on this train a while ago. But I'm here now.
You would have been dishing out 25 cents a post.
There you go. Someday. Someday. Worms.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows. Starving in the Company of Beautiful Women is Michael W. Dean's novel from the year 2000. It's entirely fictional.
Allegedly.
Starving in the Company of Beautiful Women is a glorious story about a low-rent post-punk rock star, Cash Newman. Cash Newman is entirely made up.
Not a guarantee.
And is not based on any particular person.
Not a guarantee.
Cash Newman has lots of fun with strange ladies and with the party favors.
Don't try this at home.
And he hangs out with people who commit 3 felonies a page.
But that's none of my business.
It's all in good fun. And at the same time, it's kind of deep. But always spunky. Michael recently updated the book to a much better version. He released it as a paperback and for the first time on Kindle. As with this and all Freedom Fiends related things, please rate and review. Get Starving in the Company of Beautiful Women now on Amazon or at michaelwdean.com.
For entertainment purposes only.
And we're back, and we were talking in the last segment as we went into the break about Steemit, and John, you were saying that you had another point you wanted to make as we were coming back from the break.
Yeah, one thing that I think is pretty cool about this is that it's definitely getting people into crypto that wouldn't be otherwise, and it's changing a lot of people's opinions about crypto, too, because a lot of cryptocurrency naysayers are really just, kind of people with sour grapes that are seeing all these people get rich off something that they don't have the disposable income to invest in. And it's kind of understandable, so this offers them a situation where they don't have to risk the $20 that they need for food that week because they're living paycheck to paycheck, they can just generate it for free, and then they can invest it elsewhere if they want, and then they could start to learn how cryptocurrency works. You know what I'm saying. Trying to catch my breath because I rocked the dog during the break.
Well, I obviously haven't been on the platform long enough to notice that, but it does make sense, and it would be, you know, if I was somebody like that. Well, I mean, actually, of course, I am somebody like that because, you know, I lost all my other crypto holdings in a horrible voting accident since, you know, I live here in New York. But you know, since I'm starting from scratch again, it's great to have a place where I don't have to put any money down. You know, and I could totally see why that would, I would hope it would get some people over that whole sour grapes thing. Cause I'm with you on that. I really do believe that most of the people I come across, I mean, I do know some people that, you know, I'm fairly close with that have, you know, that have their opinions and their reasons why they're staying away from cryptocurrencies, and they're relatively well thought out to a certain extent, but you know, there's still, I think there's still a lot of fear involved there, and then just uncertainty, and they're, you know, they're convinced of some of the FUD, but they're, you know, they're not as bad as some of these other people that just go running around and screaming about how everything's a scam, everything's a fraud, you know, where it's all a bubble, they're going to all be laughing at us in a couple of years, basically. You know, they're not that type of person. But those are the ones I largely run into, and it's just like, yeah, most of you guys, I'm pretty sure that you feel left out. It's the only thing that really makes sense that they would be getting that adamant about it, you know, and having to tell you constantly that, you know, it's a bubble, you're going to lose all your money type of thing. It's like, dude, you're really just mad, aren't you? That's the only thing that makes sense is that you're mad. You missed out somehow.
I think that's what it is. And in all reality, they haven't missed out. But at the same time, as somebody who has been broke most of my life and stuff, I really do understand where they're like, okay, I get paid like $300 this week and, you know, $200 goes to rent and I, or whatever, my bills and all that. And I have $100 left over. They don't want to put that into an investment. Most people don't even have savings accounts. So it makes sense that, you know, a lot of your average person aren't getting into it. But this totally just crashes down that barrier, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Now they don't have to risk anything.
Sure.
And they're doing the same thing on Facebook or whatever social media platform they're on all day long anyway.
Well, yeah, exactly. You know, and I mean, now that, I mean, I'm in that situation, I mean, I was never exactly rich, but, you know, for a long time, I was comfortable with myself, you know, with things, with my company and stuff like that. But now that I'm living like that again, like paycheck to paycheck, like I understand, and I would love to be even deeper into the crypto world. I can't afford to be. But things like Steemit, I agree with you. I think it's a great opportunity for people, especially for people who are, like you said, spending most of their day on some type of social media anyway, and just posting whatever they're posting all day long. Why not throw it, especially because it doesn't take hardly any effort. You can just put it up there and then just click the little buttons down at the bottom and have it linked directly to your Facebook and to your Twitter or your LinkedIn or whatever else you used, you know. So it's not like you have to, like, you know, even if you could use the excuse, oh, I have to go to a totally different site and I have to post it there. It's like, well, no, you could just post it there to start and then just click the button so it posts automatically to your other ones and boom, you're done. You know, so exactly. If you're going to post anyway, why not put it someplace that, you know, is going to try to make you money? I mean, that's why originally when, what was that? The one thing that tried
Sue?
To
yeah, TSU Sue. TSU or something?
Yeah, the one that tried to compete with my, I was about to say MySpace, the one that tried to compete with Facebook, like 2 years ago, I guess it came up. You know, that's why I was all excited about that platform originally, because I was like, oh, you know, basically you can get tipped for what you're doing. This is great. You know, incentivize people to you know, put out
Themes with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Go, go, freedom fiends.
Freedom fiends, helping the helpless. Freedom fiends, saving the universe. Freedom fiends, doing the things that I've
taking the world from the state, fighting the forces of hate.
Freedom fiends, helping the helpless. Freedom fiends, kicking the hornet's nest. Freedom fiends, doing the things that I've
go blow.
So we're back. And I don't remember where I got rudely cut off by the market there. We're too busy talking in the break or still reliving steam at tails, I guess. I mean, like we were saying in the last segment about it being a better platform, I think, especially for people who pretty much just waste their time on social media all day anyway. You know, why not? For that, and and added the, you get the added bonus of, especially if you're not involved in crypto at all, you can get yourself involved in it by doing this as well. You know, I think this is definitely, the way to go. You know, along with other platforms, like, I'm still a big fan of Patreon. I just put out another episode tonight for the Seeds of Liberty, and I'm trying to put out more of those too, because that's another great platform that you can just, you put your stuff out there, and if people want to give you money, they can. They don't have to. I do plenty of content for free. I mean, obviously this show that I do the Fiends normally at least twice a week. All of this content we put out there for free in like so many different forms. My other podcast is Seeds of Liberty. We put out, the overwhelming majority of our content for free. There's just certain stuff we put behind the paywall on Patreon for people who are, willing to throw a little money. But again, it's a voluntary thing, and I find that those platforms are so much more satisfying, because it's great to put things on other platforms and get like the likes and shares and stuff like that. It definitely makes you feel good, but makes you feel a little bit better when there's some monetary gain coming along with it, because for as long as I've been in like the Liberty movement, and as it were, and been doing different content creation and stuff like that, it's not like I've been opposed to donations. Obviously, I mean, like, I would never turn down a donation, but I would never really like promote it either. Even back when like my other podcast, The Seeds of Liberty, first started out, and it was my buddy Dave and Danilo and I, and at the end of every show, Danilo would like immediately try to hop into the sales pitch for the donations and stuff like that. And half the time,
Fiend phone.
So yeah, look at that. I was talking away. I didn't even realize you were gone.
I'm back. Sorry about that.
No, it's quite all right. But whatchamacallit? My buddy would just jump. He would start going into the sales pitch, and I would just start cutting him off after a while. And I was like, oh, you know what? I really don't even care. Just share and like and comment on our stuff. That's good enough for me. Because I always hated like the people that were out there constantly like begging, what it seemed like begging for the donations. It's like, yeah. Listen, man, you're putting your content out there. I mean, sure. Do I understand wanting to get paid for your efforts? Sure. Absolutely. But it's like, there's only so much you could do. So like, for me, it was like, if we announced it every once in a while and like there, it was easily, you could go to our website and easily find how to donate to us. Like that was enough. I didn't want to like constantly beat people over the head with it.
How about you guilt them if they only donate $2?
Oh yes, the old Molyneux play. Please, the $2 thing. our Patreon for the Seeds of Liberty has always been to this day is still set. Like you only have to donate $1, not even $1 an episode. I think it's just $1 a month to get access to all of our stuff.
I have it set up like that, but I don't tell people that. I have it set up for $5, but if they could only afford $1 and that's what they decide to do, then I give them the same stuff everybody else gets.
Oh, yeah. I thought about changing the levels and stuff like that. Because, I mean, we do have some people that have, I was just looking today, like we have one guy who's been donating those for like a couple of years straight for like, $5 a month, which is like awesome. Like I may have interacted with this guy like once or twice on our Facebook page, and like once through Patreon, he sent us a note and I answered him. you know, and just be, you know, being very appreciative, obviously, that he was donating to us and continued to donate to us. But like, you know, and there's a couple other people that did donate at different levels and stuff like that. But and that's obviously great. It's very much appreciated. But I have no problem saying it out, you know, up front. I'm like, it's a dollar. It's seriously, just throw us a dollar. Because my attitude is, if I could get a bunch of people to just throw us a dollar a month, then that'll get us what I need. Because like our newest goal up there, I think, is like we have the $100 a month goal right now. Like if we reach that, then we'll start pumping out two Patreon episodes a week. Like that's enough for me, you know, $100 a month out of that. That's great. You know, yeah. for doing stuff that I would mostly be doing for free anyway, because I mean the amount of talking I've done on podcasts, radio shows, my own, this show, you know, other shows I've either still a part of, used to be a part of, guest hosting, doing guest spots on other people's shows, and then all the editing I've done, especially for the Seeds of Liberty. There's just, and actually there's other podcasts that we put out on our network for a while that are now, most of, I think all of them are now defunct, but while they were up and running, I was doing the editing for a lot of those too. So like the amount of editing work I've done for virtually, you know, nothing. Yeah, every once in a while, it's nice to get paid for it.
Oh yeah, definitely, man.
Even if it's just a little bit.
Yeah, I've been doing the Patreon thing too, and I really regret it. Like it had to have been when the site first came out, before everybody started hopping on it. There was this guy that came up to me, and this was when I first started writing articles. I think it was right after I released my first book, when I was still throwing raves and everything. This local dude came up to me at a rave I was throwing. He's like, "You got to get on this thing called Patreon. People pay like a dollar." And I was like, you know, one of these sites just started paying me to write, so I think I'm going to go with that. I'm just going to do that, focus on that, instead of like ask people for money and stuff, you know. And then like years later, it blew up to this thing where it was like a lot bigger of a deal, and people were like having full-time incomes on it. And I was like, oh man, I should have done that like 3 years ago. But better late than never, just like the crypto game. Better late than never.
Well, exactly. And it's still, you know, like you were saying before with crypto, it's not too late. It's still not too late in any of these things either. It's like, sure, have certain niche markets been filled? Of course. But that doesn't mean there aren't plenty of other ones. And, you know, you could just look at... You know, we were talking earlier about, you know, certain content being demonetized on YouTube, but there's still plenty of people who make tons of money with the monetization on YouTube. And if you just go look at the stuff, like, you look at, like, the highest grossing channels on something like YouTube, like, it's some of the most inane content.
You know? Idiot children doing dumb pranks on each other and stuff like that.
And these are the things that make tons and tons of money. So, like, it's, you know, when people think, I've missed the boat, please. There's always something that's going to catch people's attention, and you obviously have, you know, if you just look at things normally, you're not going to see it, because the things that end up being hugely popular, most rational people end up looking at it at some point and going, how? I just don't get it. Like, why? You know, like, exactly. that's like the reaction from a lot of people, but it's there. So if that happens constantly, you know, the opportunity. Opportunities are always there, so you can always find some way to make content. And you know, we're just talking about two different outlets right now. There's other ones too, but like there's so many different ways to try to monetize your content, your skills, whatever. I don't know why people don't take more advantage of it instead of wasting away time on the social media sites that don't pay anything.
Absolutely, man. And it's cool too, because, you know, 30, 40 years ago or something, a kid growing up that wanted to be, say, you know, an artist or a musician or a radio host or something like that, and that was their dream, they had to be discovered, or they had to be like a one in a million to get there. And yeah, like they might have gotten paid a lot more money back then than people do now, but you can still be, you can make a comfortable living as a creative person in today's world. You won't be filthy rich like, you know, the TV show host and radio host of the back in the day were, but if you figure out how to do it and you have a good audience and stuff, it's way more possible for a kid growing up to have that dream and it actually be a possibility. And maybe it even be supported by their family and maybe even have classes online they could take without being forced through a education camp, you know?
Yeah. And, well, yeah, which is, you know, because there's, you know, like we were saying before, you know, there's so many ridiculous things that end up making money, you know. But then on the flip side, I mean, I've seen a lot of stuff recently about different, you know, young entrepreneurs that are making money. You know, actually, I had a story about one of them about you know, talking about cryptocurrency too. A Bitcoin millionaire, some teenage kid. I think he's only 19, and when he got into Bitcoin originally, he was only 12. Because it was, you know, back in 2011, his grandmother gave him $1,000, and his brother was like, "Hey, man, you should get into this Bitcoin thing." So when Bitcoin was like $12 a piece, and he put all his money, he put most of that $1,000 into Bitcoin, and now, you know, 7 years later, he's got a lot of money. But it's not like he's just sitting on his, you know, rear end and playing video games and going, "Yeah, I'm rich." He's trying to revolutionize the secondary education, starting out in Dubai. He's trying to create the world's most high-tech university, essentially, and try to revolutionize the college game. But that's what he's
incredible.
Trying to put. Yeah, and I've been seeing a lot of stories like this. There was another one. I can't. There's some girl from New Zealand. I don't even remember the product, or not Australia, I think. I don't remember the product now, but it was another thing. It was like a science project she did, you know, for like for some science fair, like, you know, the eighth grade or something like that, that she ended up turning into a full scale business. And, you know, now she's I don't think she's fully out of high school yet. And she's already like, you know, marketing this stuff around the world. And it wouldn't have been possible without the internet, without these different, like, I think that girl was using like GoFundMe or something like that, or one of those different project things.
Yeah, and I think that Google does like some kind of children's science fair all the time, where like every year, where these like genius kids come up with these crazy inventions and stuff.
Yeah,
Google's the evil empire still.
Yes, you know? But I think I've heard of that too. But yeah, but none of these things would have been possible without these type of avenues that we're talking about. You know, back when we were kids, we wouldn't have been able to pull this stuff off. You know, there's a reason there aren't that many success stories as you go back in the generations, because it just wasn't possible to reach this amount of people.
And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Ever struggle for the right thing to say at a party? Want something to break the ice? Get the free Freedom Fiends Android app, Pocket Alibi. Pocket Alibi will help you have things to say. It'll replace verbal communication when you're not speaking with somebody.
I value your input.
It'll make you the hit of any party.
Not my circus, not my monkeys.
Will it work?
Not a guarantee.
It's a great icebreaker, too. Comes loaded with hundreds of original funny sayings with great voices and great recording quality. It's arranged into 7 categories. Disclaimers.
You should never do the thing I'm talking about.
Excuses.
I'm sorry, sir. An older girl told me to do it.
Advice. Fun too.
Get off me, kitty.
Libertarian pickup lines.
Hey, baby, hold my camera while I yell at this meter maid.
State speech is hate speech.
Bark, bark for the state.
Get Pocket Alibi today on Google Play for free. Again, search for Pocket Alibi. That's Pocket Alibi, A-L-I-B-I.
Pocket Alibi, Pocket Alibi, Pocket Alibi, Pocket Alibi, Pocket Alibi.
Does this app make me look fat?
And we're back. And one of these breaks, I'll actually know that we're going into the break. Caught off guard again. Just not listening to the music. Not listening for the music. I don't know. Are you there, John?
I am here.
Okay. you were so quiet towards the end of that break, and I was like, wait a minute, did he leave? Now am I gonna have to do the show by myself? Like Lou did the other night? I don't really want to do that. Anyway. So yeah, I think when I got so rudely cut off by the market that time, I was reiterating the point that, you know, a lot of these things that we were talking about, just, you know, they wouldn't have been possible 5, 10, you know, 15 years ago. And that's why I think it's so imperative to kind of just keep, you know, pointing out to people, like you said, like I've said, you know, in a lot of these different areas, that it's not too late for a lot of these things. And, you know, especially if you're someone who maybe not necessarily is, you know, an anarchist or you know, or thinking in that line, but even if you're just like completely disenfranchised with government at this point, like so many people seem to be, you know, all these other avenues are along with, you know, giving you the opportunity to, you know, share your content and make a little money for it and stuff like that. It's just giving you more freedom and you know, decentralizing things to a much greater extent, which just overall I think helps the you know, helps the overall cause of freedom. So I think that's a good thing too, you know. And then hopefully by being connected, because I know, like, you know, going back to what we started with all this with like Steemit, I know Steemit seemed to be at the beginning, it seemed to be, like you said, it was like pretty big with the cryptocurrency, you know, the crypto world and stuff like that. But it definitely seemed to, you know, a lot of anarchists seemed to, or, you know, freedom-minded individuals seemed to flock there. And it definitely seemed to be overrun with them for a while, which I think is a great thing. But any of these stuff, and like now with DTube too, I think you're going to see a lot of people start shifting there, especially with as many people who, again, not necessarily even freedom-minded individuals, just people who were making some kind of living on YouTube who have now all of a sudden become demonetized for whatever.
It's happened, you know, across the board, man. Like even the most innocuous type material content on YouTube has been taken a significant hit in how much they're getting paid.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. So it doesn't matter where, you know, where they're coming from, but people are going to be looking for another avenue. And if they're flocking to these avenues that already are kind of, you know, relatively heavily populated with people of, say, our persuasion, I think it's just all for the better, because, you know, not only are people going to be getting what they want, essentially, you know, going to a platform is, you know, the reason they used YouTube in the first place was to monetize their stuff and, you know, get paid for it, essentially. And now that that's being taken away from them, people are going to look for other avenues to do that. And
well, that's I was just gonna say, if
on their way there they happen to run into a lot more people who have a lot more ideas of, like, say, ours, who can kind of like influence them as they start to saturate these different markets, I think that's all the better for us too, man.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. And I think that, like, with a lot of these helpful platforms and that are being available to people, or things that are making people money that anarchists are involved with, I feel like normal people are starting to look over and it's like, oh, they're not in the middle of the street setting dumpsters on fire anymore. Wow, they are rich now and they're creating these things that can make me rich too. Maybe they have some decent ideas.
Well, yeah, the crypto, you know, people joke about the, you know, the Bitcoin millionaires and stuff, but, you know, there are quite a number of people who have made a, you know, decent amount of coin. And yeah, it's predominantly from people who think a lot like us. So yeah, I think this is going to open a lot of doors, you know. Virgil Vaduva, the guy who created Cell 411, great example of that, you know. And he's out there convincing people all the time, because, you know, he's connecting with not just anarchists, but people all over the world in all different ideologies because of the product he's putting out. So get Cell411.com, by the way. But all right, so this time I hear the music, so I know we're going into the break. And this is the long one, so we will be back in the second hour. Arms.
Cell 411 is a great free app for Android and iPhone. It allows you to set up public and private cells for dealing with crime, emergencies, setting up neighborhood watch, activism, and even protecting your kids from bullies on the street or at school. Cell 411 gives your cells turn-by-turn directions to your location with one touch on your phone. There is also a Bluetooth panic button available that can be worn on your wrist, belt, or around your neck. Cell 411 has real-time chat for each alert so you can discuss the incident with family or friends in real-time video streaming. The video is stored on Cell 411's servers so your evidence cannot be deleted if your phone is taken or destroyed. Cell 411 has decentralized ride-sharing that allows for payment in any form, crypto, barter, silver, cash, etc. Cell 411 does not take a cut of your fare. Get Cell 411 free on Google Play and the iTunes Store, or go to getcell411.com. That's getcell411.com.
This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting to the Libertarian Reeducation Center's low orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial Peace Plaza, on the artificial side of Lib Pair 17. Lib Pair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. There we go. Freedom Fiends is covered by BIPCAT, no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCAT.org. So we are back for the second hour. I'm still Jeremy. That's still John. I get all inside my head when I do that, man. As I was sitting there reading, as I was sitting there going through the intro, I was thinking to myself, wow, I guess I've gotten pretty good at this, because I don't even open the notes anymore. Like, even after I had it pretty much memorized, like the first hour and the second hour intros, after about a year or so, I would still always, like, before the start of the show, I had like this routine that I would go through where, like, I would restart all my, you know, I'd restart my router, and I would restart, you know, we were talking during the break about the fact that you weren't able to browse online while you were connected to Fiend Phone, because it kept booting you off, and that you were going to have to go get your cell phone because, you know, your internet's over there aren't the greatest, so trying to hook up two laptops at once wouldn't really work for you, right? You know, like, that's the setup I have, but, like, that's the routine I used to go through, and I would set all that up, and then once everything was rebooted and, you know, everything was back online, I would open up the show clock, the web-based show clock that James Babb had created for us a couple of years ago, that unfortunately no longer works for me because apparently it doesn't work on Firefox, so I can't use it anymore. But I used to open that up, and like I said, even after I had memorized the intros, I would still open up the Word document that I had that had them, just in case. And I've since stopped doing that because I pretty much remember them. But every time I think about it, and it's usually as I'm saying it out, like I'm usually saying it live on the air, and I start thinking to myself, wow, I don't even have any show notes. I don't even have the notes in front of me. And then I start stumbling over the words every time. Oh, yeah, I'm a mess.
I think that's fairly normal. Like, once you think about what you're doing, it's, you're not in the flow anymore.
Yeah, of course. It's funny because I catch myself doing it. It's one of those things, you know, I've said plenty of times and throughout my life, too, because I've been told it throughout my life, you know, even since I was ever a little kid. You know, too smart for your own good has a phrase been used often for me. And for me, when I think about it, it's like one of those situations again, because like I recognize it as it's happening. But I still can't stop it. So I think of it in those terms. It's like I'm smart enough to realize what's going on, but I'm still too dumb to do anything about it. I don't stop myself. But anyway, so we spent, a lot of the first hour talking about Steemit, which is funny. You made a remark off the air about, you know, you're surprised Michael hasn't burst in yet because we've been talking about Steemit so long. I don't think he listens anymore. And even if he does, then even when he does the next day, I think he's listening to the digest. So he may not even catch most of this conversation. I was with him for a long time, as we talked about. You know, I was anti-Steemit, and I've since seen the light. But we touched on a couple of, you know, we touched on the, well, because Steemit has the Steem currency that's attached to it too, but we touched on that and some other cryptocurrency stuff. in the first hour, mainly about the, you know, talking about the one Bitcoin millionaire kid, a teenager, I guess he's 19, who's trying to revolutionize the college world, which was kind of cool. But there's a whole bunch of other things going on in the crypto world, and that had become our routine on Sunday nights when it was the two of us and Shane for a while. We were doing like the crypto hour every Sunday, and we've gotten away from that with the holidays and not doing shows for a little bit, and then you and I doing the New Year's Eve show the other last week. So I figure we can get into some of this stuff, especially because, you know, we were talking off the air. Both of us are so excited, besides the whole Stima thing that we were talking about in the first hour, just in general with the crypto world, because, you know, we weren't early adopters like a lot of, you know, like some of our friends were. You know, neither of us are these Bitcoin or, you know, or crypto billion, you know, millionaires and billionaires that we may know or that we see talked about and stuff. I know neither of us are in that position. So yeah. It's just exciting times when we can kind of get in on like the, or try to get onto the ground floor of some things. And, you know, that's, it does seem like, you know, the crypto markets, I mean, they've obviously continuously been volatile this entire time because they're still, like, everything's still trying to find its footing. And we're still, you know, we were talking in the first hour about how it's, you know, not too late because it's still so early in this game. And, you know, there's still like, it's just like the potential is insane, and, you know, we're just scratching the surface of it. But there are, you know, every day there's more and more people getting into the crypto world, and every day there's more and more people now, whether they have any knowledge whatsoever, like whether they're coming from the stock market world or stuff like that, or they're just coming into this trying to get, you know, trying to make some money or trying to get rich quick or whatever, and have absolutely no knowledge of the economic systems or how any of this stuff would work, even theoretically. All these people are coming in, and they're, you know, so a lot of different coins, you know, people are scratching their head as to like why they're going up. Like, you know, we were talking about during the break, like Bitcoin, for instance. The, you know, joke coin that Michael created a couple of years ago that he has since dumped the project off to somebody else because he didn't want the headache of it anymore. And we had talked about recently because it had laid dormant at, you know, bouncing between 2 and 4 cents for like ever, it seemed. And then I had announced recently that I was finally going to get rid of my Bitcoin, and I did as I got on one of the exchanges and tried to help bump the price up a little bit, and I got it all the way up to like 6.5-7 cents, I think, when all of mine were finally taken, you know, all of mine ended up finally being bought or exchanged rather for Bitcoin. And I was kind of happy with myself because, you know, I had originally mined for, you know, for a couple of weeks with my crappy little laptops. So I was, you know, wasn't using that much energy, but I was also getting a heck of a lot of Bitcoins because I got to be in the original pre-mine. And then in the, you know, in the very early goings when like nobody was mining it, even my crappy little thing could still get me like 100 or so bips a day. So I used it, and then I purchased some. I think I spent like $60 on like, you know, 10, 12, whatever thousand it was, Bitcoins. So I didn't invest a lot in it. So even selling out at 6-7 cents, you know, I got like whatever that was. It was a decent return on what I had spent originally, but now it's like almost tripled at this point.
That's frustrating.
Overall, I said it as soon as it happened. I said, watch, the price is going to go up. And sure enough, it did.
I think I was the one who saw it because I sent it to Michael and he hadn't seen it yet. And he was like, what? When it was like 15, because I was sitting in the doctor's office scrolling through, coin market cap. And I was like, what? Because it was on, they have this, on the app I have, they have these two lists, and it was one's heroes and the other one's zeros, and it's, you know, the best and the worst performers of the day, and I saw Bitcoin, and I had to do a double take.
Yeah, well, and it's gone up from there. Like I said, it's been riding just under 20, it's like right now, on Crypto Compare right now, it says 0.1988, so almost 20 cents, and you know, we were trying to we were discussing that during the break, and I really think that it's one of those situations that, because I haven't heard anything else of the, you know, of it. I mean, a couple of months ago when I first went to go look for my Bitcoins that I'd kind of forgotten about, I went on to the Bitcoin Talk forum and went to the Bitcoin one, and was reading, and it was like people were still posting there, you know, at least like a handful of posts a week or stuff, but it seemed like only one of the devs was responding, and it was like one of the newest devs, and they didn't really have any concrete answers about things about what was coming up or stuff like that. And Michael had said that he thought the devs had completely abandoned the project, but I don't think they had completely abandoned it. But I haven't heard any news. I really think that you know, this is one of those situations where a lot of newcomers are coming in and trying to find the next big thing. And like I said, whether they have any working knowledge of how the crypto world would work, or even how the stock market world would work, or anything like that, or whether they're complete idiots, people are just getting in and going, well, this is only worth this much money. I can get this much, you know, I can get however many of them for a dollar. Like, that's their type of thinking. And if it goes up, so I can see a lot of people getting involved in that. I mean,
I've already been doing that with a couple coins.
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, at its core, even though Bitcoin originally was a joke, I mean, it was using the crypto note code, which is the more secure, which is this more secure code than, you know, what Bitcoin uses. It's what Monero uses. What are some of the other ones? And I'm going to like completely draw a blank now. But it's, you know,
Monero is the only big privacy one I know of like that.
Well, there's other ones that are offshoots of it, I think. It's not. PIVX is the Dash offshoot, right? Or is that the Monero offshoot? One of those. There's one of them that's a Monero offshoot that uses it too. But, you know, talking about lesser value coins, at least at the current moment, but that are also in that code. You know, you're talking about taking flyers on certain things. Like Sumo Coin is one I recently became introduced to. That's another one I think is definitely, I believe, a Monero clone. And it just offers more ring signatures than Monero does. You know, supposedly more secure, whatever. But that's the one that's been, you know, all of a sudden seen a huge surge. It was like up to like $10 the other day after normally sitting, I guess, around $4 or $5, because it's back down around, well, now actually now looking at it, it's about $8. But it was back around $4 or $5 yesterday. You know, stuff like that. So I think that has a lot to do with it, with Bitcoin, because it is so cheap that a lot of people, you know, because, you know, it was only a week ago that, like I said, it was down around 7 cents was the highest it got when I sold out of all mine.
Yeah, there was this one. So I saw, like, when I was looking through that Heroes and Zeros app, I saw this one that was like rising out of nowhere, and it was called Anime Coin, right? So I put like $2 into it, and I got like 24,000 of them or something like that. And then it shot up like 800% in the past week.
Wow.
And the devs haven't touched it in like 3 years, four now.
Wow. Worms.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
I love the Freedom Fiends, but in this modern busy world, I just don't have time to listen all the way through every episode.
There is a solution. Go to the World Wide Web and log on to digest.freedomfiends.com and subscribe to the Freedom Fiends Digest. Digest.freedomfiends.com has 20-minute best-ofs of each episode.
20-minute best-ofs? Digest.freedomfiends.com sounds great. How much does it cost?
That's the best part. It's free. And if you listen at 1.5 speed, they're only 13 minutes long. Plus, the episodes are only about 15 megs, which is great, because I have a limited data plan.
Wow. I'm at digest.freedomfiends.com right now. It's so simple to use. And anyone who doesn't have 13 minutes to listen to the Freedom Fiends is a big old statist.
I agree with you about people who can't find 13 minutes to listen to the Freedom Fiends Digest. That's digest.freedomfiends.com.
We'll be right back.
as had become our custom here on Sunday night. We're back to talking about crypto for the second hour here. So we were talking about the recent rise of Bitcoin, which of course just happened to coincide with me dumping all of my Bitcoin. You're welcome, everybody who's out there right now. Paul Gordon, I know especially, keeps very proudly talking about how he's hodling his Bitcoin. Because Paul and I, who's a Paul's an you know a big Fiend fan, and he's a good friend of mine. Actually, I've had him on my show a bunch of times, or a few times at least, and got to hang out with him this past year in Michigan at the Midwest Peace Liberty Fest. Hope to see him again this year too. And we had like a friendly rivalry going on during the mining days of Bitcoin, where him and I were battling back and forth to see, you know, who was going to have the most bips, you know, with the idea that we never anticipated them being worth anything, but we were both just going to hold them just to see what happened. And you know, I think I ended up having just a little bit more than him at the end, because I let my computer, because I was running two computers at the same time, I think, and I let mine run just a little bit longer than his. And we always joked about it. And when I told him that I was planning on getting rid of it, he's like, I'm just going to keep holding mine. I'm like, yeah, I know, but I think it's just time, and I want to get some other stuff. And then of course, as soon as it happened, you know, I got messages from him.
You know, of course,
reminding just me that luck. He still, you know, that he still had his. But that's okay. I got, you know, as you and I were talking about earlier, you know, I'm trying to diversify into some other things that currently, you know, there's one in particular that's actually currently around the price of a Bitcoin, Electronium. That's actually become a very big one for people to mine. It's actually, especially if you already have a mining rig set up to mine different crypto note currencies like Monero, like my mining rig was set up to do originally, it can easily switch over to run to mine Electronium or another one, which is Sumo Coin, which I believe is a Monero clone. And you know, I think right now is, you know, about $7 or something like that. But, you know, there's these other coins out there that are still relatively cheap. And, you know, in the case of those two, are actually quite relatively easily mineable. Like I said, if you're already set up for it, or if you were planning to, because I know a bunch of people that were planning on trying to still get into like mining Monero at this point, which I think we were talking about this before we started the show. The idea with coins like Monero and other coins were designed to be what's called ASIC resistant, which is they're resistant to the big ASIC miners that people use to mine Bitcoin, which made it impossible to mine for the little guy. Certain cryptocurrencies were designed to get around that, so people wouldn't be able to use those big miners. So everybody would always be an opportunity for like even the little guy to mine, even if you were only getting obviously a little, you know, very little payout. At least you'd still be able to technically be in the game. You know, as we were talking about in the first hour with stuff like Steam Mint and stuff like, and on Patreon, so like you're actually, you know, you're getting in the game by putting it out there and trying to get actually, you know, return for your content type of thing. And especially with Steam, if you don't actually have money to put into cryptos, well, here you have the opportunity to basically get free crypto essentially. You know, that nice. Type of deal. So, you know, there's still opportunities for people to do it with these type of currencies. And you know, that's what I'm doing. I think it's you know, especially with in particular, like I said, if you're already set up to do that, if you look at these other two coins, which currently have been battling back and forth, there's you know, websites designed, you know, set up for this. There's one that I like to use called whattomine.com, and you know, you basically just plug in what GPUs you're using, and it kicks back results for all the different types of algorithms that you could use those for, and like what's the most, you know, what is the most profitable over a 24-hour period for you to mine. And you know, I know some of my friends will have like theirs that are, you know, they're advanced enough that they have theirs set up to like automatically switch when when the profitability changes and one becomes more profitable, their miners just seamlessly switch over to the other.
That's
one.
Awesome.
Yeah, I haven't bothered to do that with mine. Number one, because I'm kind of lazy, and because it took me a couple of weeks to finally get mine stable, and now that it finally is for the most part, I don't like to mess with it much. Just when I have to reset it every once in a while to reset my router anyway, so I just wait till that happens. But more on that when we get back. Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. I've run websites since 1996 and have used over a dozen web hosts in that time. AgoristHosting.com is the only one that hasn't broken my heart. Agorist Hosting's uptime and service is stellar, and their DDoS mitigation is the best I've seen. That's important because if you tell the truth in this world, you'll ruffle feathers. No matter what the haters hit us with, Agorist Hosting keeps our websites online. If you have a mission-critical commercial presence or a world-changing activism site, go with AgoristHosting.com.
Freedom Fiends. And we're back. We've been talking crypto and just talking about, you know, the different options there are, like, you know, we're talking about the ways that are still possible to get in without spending, you know, little to no money, depending on, like I said, if you're somebody who already has a crypto mining rig of some sort, or you can set one up pretty cheaply, as we were talking about in the first hour, you want to use Steam and get get involved that way. There's tons of different ways, and you know, there's all these other coins that are still, you know, relatively cheap, and you know, the market is getting flooded with a lot of new people, a lot of new blood, a lot of people throwing money, probably foolishly, at a lot of different things, because a lot of these people also don't seem to, you know, they're going at it for the prospect of just trying to make money. It has nothing to do with the particular projects. You know, they're not getting behind a project of any kind. There's a lot of people that are down on Ripple, for instance. I'm kind of a big fan of Ripple, not just because of the crazy gains it has made recently, but what it's trying to do. You know, the fact that it has the ability to have these insanely large transactions happen almost instantaneously at like fractions of a penny, essentially. You know, it is, you know, by all accounts so far, it seems to be what cryptocurrencies were promised to be, you know, what they were promised to us, you know, back in 2008, 2009, 2010, when all these things started becoming a big thing and when people started talking about it a lot, and all of a sudden here it is, boom. It's like, oh yeah, this is what they were talking about, you know, instantaneous money changes, you know, for fractions of a penny, which was going to make the banking system obsolete, or at least force the banking system to change, which is why a lot of people are down on Ripple, for example, because they think, you know, they think it's a Fed coin. They think they're in the cahoots with the central banks, which is just really,
I kind of agree with that, but I put $300 in it anyway.
It's not though the banks that are using it are not necessarily central banks, first of all, and second of all, they're using the Ripple ledger, which is not the same thing as XRP.
But it's not like an anti-state thing. It's like a play in the game kind of thing.
Well,
you know,
no,
I mean?
they're trying to, you know, because this is, you know, like I said, either the banks aren't just going to go away, and if, you know, you force them to change direction, then, you know, people who are already in the crypto world continue to have the upper hand. If they're playing the game, whatever, like I said, the coin itself, the XRP is separate from what's going on with these different networks. So I don't have a problem with that. It's proving to be what everybody, you know, assumed Bitcoin was going to be. those years ago, or at least that's the way it was. That's what was sold to people, or, you know, right? That's why, that's another reason right now with the extremely high transaction fees, and the extremely long transaction times. I mean, I just finally had the first time, where I've been saying for such a long time, where everybody's complaining about the transaction fees and the transaction times with Bitcoin, and I'm like, I don't know. Whenever I make a transaction, it only takes like an hour or less. It still only takes an hour or less. I never have a problem. I don't get what you guys are complaining about. I finally had one that took almost 3 days, which was very frustrating.
Yeah, I've had a couple of them.
Because it's just in limbo and you're just waiting and waiting and waiting. But, you know, Ripple's one of those ones that aims to stop that, you know. And if it's not Ripple, it's, you know, one of the other ones, any of the other ones too that are moved.
I hope it'll be Nexus. But, I mean, their infrastructure, as far as a currency, it's not there yet, you know what I'm saying? Because they still are planning everything, but they have a ton of anarchists involved with it, and they're trying to, like, set up this free internet kind of situation. So, I mean, that's personally what I really support. I don't really know much about Ripple as far as the transaction, but I can't get over the Ben Bernanke thing. I just can't get over that. I'm not one of these moral crusaders who are going to shame people for putting a few bucks in there, because I did it too. But, like, I don't see that as something I want to go out and, like, promote.
Wait, what about Bernanke?
I mean, they booked him to speak at their conference or whatever.
Oh, Ripple Labs did? Yeah. Whatever. If you actually hear him talk, he does speak differently now that he's not in charge of the Federal Reserve. That does tend to happen. You know, he is a little, you know, I'm not going to say he's free market by any, you know, by any stretch of the imagination.
Kind of like how Alan Greenspan got afterwards or whatever.
Well, Greenspan was like that before the hand, wasn't he? He got worse afterwards.
Way back
in the day, he was a free market guy.
Because I remember seeing videos of him like that did not sound like him running the Fed.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm not, you know, like that to me, that's nothing. I mean, there was other people that were connected in the monetary system that ended up on the board of directors, I think. I think that's, if you're going to go that route, that would be more damning than who they have.
Just the whole thing. The whole thing. It's the fact that they're even interested in talking to them people is why.
But again, they understand, you know, they see what the layout is right now, and that is what you have to deal with, and that has become obvious with the way that governments have tried to and are finding ways to not shut down completely, but at least impede the ability to use cryptocurrencies and stuff like that. You know, are they going to be able to stop it? No, of course not, but they're going to keep trying, and certain companies are going to take advantage of that, you know, right now, and be like, okay, well, this is what we have to deal with right now. So if we, you know, do certain things and get them to use our products, then we have an inside track. Sure, I don't fault people for doing that, because that's just getting, you know, that's making use of the system that you're forced in at the current moment, right? You know, I have no problem with that. I'm not like, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not hugely invested like I know some people. Like, I know a ton of people that dumped all of their other crypto and like threw it all into Ripple. You know.
Wow.
I think what they have going on right now is they have some interesting stuff. I've listened to I guess it's the CEO, you know, some of the stuff they have to say is pretty interesting, you know. So I'll keep an eye on it. There's other stuff. Oh, go ahead.
My main interest in crypto is to destroy the banks, you know what I mean? And I understand that there are going to be some people who are going to want to play the game and stuff. And to some extent, like I said, I put a few bucks into it. But that's not going to be like the number one thing I get behind, you know what I'm saying? For me, like, it's got to be a project of people who are anti-state, and that's their goal with it. But I'm not one of these moral crusaders that you see against it that are going around trying to shame people and saying that it's going to destroy crypto, because I don't even think that that's possible.
Yeah, I don't either. I think those people are funny, though. They're cute. I often ask them if they've also, if they're also simultaneously lighting their FRNs on fire, because if they're not, then they should try not to choke on those moral particles that they're throwing around, because, you know.
Yeah, I mean, the way I look at it is there's this immortal technique verse, even though he's a commie, where he talks about investing in Monsanto. And that's just how I look at my $300 in Ripple.
I don't even think it's that bad. I'm with you. You know, if you're going to get into the crypto world, it's usually a good idea, because, like I said, there's so many people that are just getting in, just trying to make money. Which is, if that's what you want to do, fine. But if you plan on being in it for the long haul, then yeah, you're better off going with projects and, you know, coins, tokens, whatever it is. But the projects overall that you believe in, and whatever it is, you know, what, you know, whether your preference is for, like, the, you know, the lightning fast transactions and the super cheap fees, or, you know, what, you know, or whatever other projects are attached to these things, you know, that, you know, that's good. That's good too. I mean, I try to do that overall. You know, obviously, is the allure of making money, you know, pretty great when you get involved in this? Sure. But I still try to try to stay focused on projects. You know, I'm a big fan of the privacy coins, for a lot of the same reasons that you're talking about, being against the whole idea of, you know, trying to get away from the banks and stuff. Well, yeah, that's why I want to focus on those coins, because those are the ones that are going to be harder for the bankers and the governments to touch. So that's why that's why I'm a huge fan of Monero. That's why I got behind projects like, you know, Vertcoin, which, you know, is not only trying to be centered on privacy, but also supposed to be, you know, dedicated to never allow, you know, that's one of those ones that is promised to be, like, permanently ASIC resistant, as we were talking about earlier, as far as mining goes. Like, that's their whole goal. Like, the core team of at Vertcoin has stated multiple times that if for some reason, even if some kind of consensus in the community forms that they want to let ASIC miners in, they will fork to keep the Vertcoin pure, like their version of it. Like, they'll be the one to say, no, we're gonna fork off, or you guys have to fork off, and fine, you do that, whatever, but we're keeping this because we don't want that. We want ours to be, like, that's what we set it out to be, and that's the way it'll always be, type of thing, you know.
Yeah,
so I like stuff like that. You know, so I agree with that.
Yeah, I think it's good to hedge your bets. Like, you know, I mean, I definitely see Ripple as being somewhat of an opposing side of the rest of the crypto, but I don't see a problem with that. And I don't see a problem with hedging your bets and putting your money on both sides. My point was, it's just like the flag. What flag do you want to fly? You know what I'm saying?
No, I understand. Well, like I said, overall, I'm more of a proponent of what you're talking about. Like, you know, getting behind certain ones because it's a project you believe in. Like, you're the whole thing with Nexus with you. That's something that you're, you know, I really need to look more into that, because I mean, I've heard you talk about it a bunch, which is probably where I get most of my information from. But you know, I like the ideas, you know. But yeah, definitely. Definitely try to find out more than just what the price is or what the price has been, you know. Find out what the company's about. Find out what they're going. Find out what they're trying to offer. Marms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
The Central Scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN, or virtual private network, from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Yeah. So we're back for the final segment. I don't even know if we have any redemption. Did you find anything, John?
Nah, I've been scrolling. I'm not really seeing much.
Well, we've been largely what we've been talking about has been positive stuff for the last hour, so that's good enough. I mean, we had one story Shane sent us, and again, I hope you're feeling better, my friend, and hopefully you'll join us next week. But he did send us one story that could be kind of positive, that apparently there's a gentleman's club in Vegas that is going to be introducing robot strippers that are going to perform alongside the exotic dancers in the club. And
how is that going to work?
Well, it's interesting. The pictures are just funny because they look like the stormtroopers from, I think it's Return of the Jedi with the Ewoks when they're on Endor. Is that the Return of, is that Jedi, right? That's not Empire, right? Am I confusing my Star Wars?
I'm pretty sure. Them in like 15 years.
I'm pretty sure that's the one I'm thinking of. Anyway, the ones that were on the little speed racer thingies in the woods, the little black and white with the boxy helmets. What these robots kind of look like. But there's a video attached, and they do actually, like, you know, they gyrate. Or, you know, they stand there with their hand on one of the stripper poles, and they gyrate. And I guess this is just, you know, this is to test them out. But it's basically to show, like, what's actually possible now, because they also, you know, they mention and they show pictures in this article about, like, you know, the other almost lifelike, how, you know, how realistic the those, you know, life-size sex dolls are getting these days. Yeah. So I guess this is just like, you know, it's bridging the gap.
Bridging the gap.
Well, these are obviously the prototypes because, you know, while it's it is kind of fascinating, at least for a little while. Just it, like the video had me, you know, it's like a minute and a half. It had me kind of captivated, like to watch the, you know, like I said, it's like basically watching, you know, a forest stormtrooper or a scout, whatever they were called, doing this thing. But it's like to watch the movie. Movements and stuff, it's like, wow, that is pretty impressive. So yeah, it's you know, we're not that far away, so all of you basement dwellers out there, fear not. You know, soon enough, not only are you gonna get to have your life-size sex doll, but she's gonna get to have some sweet moves too.
Seems like an uncomfortable lap dance though.
Well, you know, again, with this, in this particular model, yes, but I'm sure, you know, as they move forward with integrating this one with the very realistic sex dolls that have the more, you know, anatomically correct bodies and softer features, I can imagine the issues of like friction and stuff will be lessened. And can you say that on radio? I don't know.
I was wondering that too.
We went
I was wondering that.
It's the last segment. It's almost 3 o'clock in the morning. Who the heck is listening to us anyway?
The children are listening.
Oh yeah. Actually, it's funny. My children aren't here tonight. But if they were here, it's about 3 a.m. They'd probably be waking up right now. They've been having horrible sleeping habits lately, so they would actually be up now. But normally, I'd say, why would your children be up at this hour? But then I think about it, it's like, yeah, my children will be up at this hour. But I think that's just to punish me and Jen, but you know. Anyway, so yeah, lots to look forward to, man. There's plenty to be made in the crypto markets. If you like to spend lots of time on social media anyway, hey, there's a couple other platforms you go to and try to make some money at it while you're there. You know, you could do that. And if you're super lonely, fear not, because technology is going to save you very, very soon.
For a price.
Well, of course. You know, that goes without saying. Nothing good comes free, John.
Well, I guess even love, right?
Yes. All right, man. Well, this has been a lot of fun. Thank you for joining me tonight.
Indeed, it's been fun as always.
Yes. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And for more of us, go to freedomfeeds.com. And remember, go buy crypto. Or go exchange for some crypto. Or go get yourself some steam. Get into the crypto world. It's not too late. I swear.